What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined today with John Kegley, my co-host. Just a little about us. We are both writers for San Diego's top sports blog, San Diego Sports Domination, when we started our own Facebook Live show 3 years ago called Chargers Domination Live, where we started covering the team, including going to training camp, interviewing players and media sources alike, and really just jumping into the sports media game. Now that we've done three seasons of that, we decided to jump onto the Locked On Chargers podcast to give you an everyday show where we can keep you updated on all the latest Chargers news and to break down what we see on the field. And today, John, we're going to go over the Chargers game against the Saints. We gave you the recap on the last show, but in this show, we're going to update you on the position battles after the third preseason game and also give you, like we have the last couple weeks, the big winners and losers from that game. But first, John, it's time to talk about position battles. So I know there's a lot that you would like to talk about and some of that are on the top of your mind. Why don't you go ahead and give us the one that you find the most intriguing going into the final week of the preseason?
The one position battle I think is still alive is that fight for the last cornerback spot. So I think we can all agree that there are guys that are obviously going to make this team, like a Casey Hayward, a Trevor Williams, a Desmond King. But what about guys like a Jeff Richards, a Craig Mager, a Michael Davis? A guy that I thought impressed me a little bit in Channing Stribling. This last game, he didn't do that bad. He had about five tackles. He didn't do that bad at covering. He had to stop the run most of the time. Jeff Richards was getting beat again after having a really good game last week. But there's a guy that we had hopes for in Brandon Faison, and he did not look good at all this week. Daniel, and I know you can agree with me on this, when he had a pass interference and he was getting beat around, didn't look physical at all, didn't even look like he was showing any toughness when trying to cover a receiver. The guy that stands out this week, sadly, is Craig Mager. And I know, Daniel, you're going to agree with me on it, so let me hear your opinion on Craig Mager's performance this week.
Well, first, let me just admit my surprise in the fact that you're willing to give Craig Mager any credit. I honestly didn't see that coming. But first, I want to go back to, I didn't think Channing Stribling had that great of a game. I mean, I thought he was good in run defense. He was aggressive on the edge and really fighting through the blocks of the receivers. But there were two back-to-back plays where he got burnt pretty bad, and a big play over the middle where he got caught chasing and ended up being a holding call against Brandon Faison, where he was held by the wide receiver. Hopefully Channing Stribling doesn't have to make this team, so it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But John, I think the four guys right now, or I guess the five guys, I think that are in the best position to make the roster right now goes like this: Casey Hayward, Desmond King, Trevor Williams, Michael Davis, and Craig Mager. All of these guys have some sort of experience. Michael Davis just had an okay game, but we all know how they feel about him. They, for some reason, love him and Craig Mager. I just don't think any of the other cornerbacks that they have behind them did enough consistently throughout the preseason to really guarantee themselves a spot on the 53-man roster. Not that I love Michael Davis and Craig Mager, John. I just don't know if the guys behind them did enough to really kick them off the team, so to speak.
I would have to agree with that. Michael Davis had that one good game and has been around for a while. Craig Mager's been around for a while, and the coaches tend to look for that more when it comes to being a DB, unless you somehow outshine everybody. And between Stribling, B.J. Clay, Marcus Edmond, Brandon Faison, Jeff Richards, Michael Davis, and Craig Mager, you got to go with Michael Davis and Craig Mager at this point right now, unless somebody really shines against the Niners. But I don't think even that would be enough to knock out these two guys.
I would agree with you there. And time to get into the most important training camp position battle, and that is the kicker, Caleb Sturgeon, versus Roberto Aguayo. Who's going to win? Well, unfortunately, John, we are still as confused as we ever were. Caleb Sturgeon made his one extra point attempt, but Roberto Aguayo made three extra point attempts and a field goal last week. I'm not going to waste any more time talking about this right now. Maybe we will when final roster cuts come upon us, but that is still a mystery and does not look good. If you have two kickers, you really have no kickers. And that's, I mean, the 30 seconds I just spent there is enough time talking about kickers. Going to a more important position, I'm going to go to the weak side linebacker position where Kazir White got his first start of the preseason after missing week two. You could tell that Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley wanted to see what this guy could do with the first team reps that he received. And John, I was impressed with Kazir White. Didn't have a great game, didn't have a super flashy game, but I think the most important part was he had three tackles and he didn't have any missed tackles. There are some things he's going to have to work on, especially reading the play action. He seemed a little bit late there and got caught up a little bit. But besides that, I thought he was aggressive going at the ball carrier in the run game, throwing himself in there and throwing his body around. And just in general, I don't think he looked out of place, John. I think he showed that he can contribute to this defense.
When you say he did not look out of place, you are dead on. He knew exactly where he was, where he had to be, and he made the play 100%. And if he screwed up, he screwed up 100%. And that's something you got to look for in these guys. Like, as you mentioned before, he got lost in a couple of play actions, but he screwed up 100% and made sure that he made the best play possible out of that situation, which is something that a guy like, oh, I don't know, Jatavius Brown didn't really do. He would miss a tackle and then say goodbye to that running back because they're going to be 10 yards down the field. Say goodbye to that wide receiver. They're picking up the first down. I think Jatavius Brown is showing that he's now a backup to Kazir White and Uchenna Nwosu.
Well, I think Uchenna Nwosu is probably more going for Kyle Emanuel's spot, which he might have overtaken, and that's another position battle to look at. But as far as the Jatavius Brown part of it, Jatavius Brown missed six or seven tackles in a row in this last game. It was honestly brutal. He got burnt by a quarterback several times, letting him get the edge and really just making him look silly, honestly, and can't do anything consistently, John. There was a couple of spots in the game where I was like, okay, Jatavius Brown came to play today. And then there's other times where it's just, you wonder how he had such a great start to his career where he was making all sorts of big plays. And with what Kazir White has done in pass coverage, specifically man-to-man coverage, I think he really is pushing for a starting job as the weak side linebacker. And as far as the strong side linebacker goes with Uchenna Nwosu had a great play on third and one. Just probably the best run-stopping play I saw all game. And he filled the hole that wasn't even really – I mean, he flew into the hole and stuffed the running back, didn't give up a single yard on third and one to get a stop. And I was really impressed by that. He also had a sack in the game and really was flying around to the football. I don't think Kyle Emanuel and Jatavius Brown are getting cut, John, because you always need depth. But I think that their starting jobs are absolutely in peril going into the start of the regular season.
Yeah, there's no way these guys are starting. If they start, you're going to see where we left off last year, which is a bad run defense. If you give Kazir White and Nwosu the starting jobs, you will see an improvement in this run defense. Nothing you could do about the defensive tackle when you're talking about linebackers, but it does help to have guys that if it gets past the D-line, you know for sure it's not going to get worse than a 5-yard gain because these linebackers will make the play.
Yeah, and there's a couple that we won't get super into because nobody really stepped up, John, and that is the defensive tackle and the tight end position. Nobody really stepped up to be a great second or third option for tight end, and nobody really gave Brandon Mebane anything to worry about behind him, even though he didn't play well at all. There's nobody really there to step into that spotlight and be the guy. So the last position battle we'll talk about, John, is Jeremy Davis versus Artavis Scott. Not good for those guys fighting for that last wide receiver position. Same goes for J.J. Jones, who still never proved anything as a receiver. I think that spot is wide open, and I think Dylan Cantrell right now is probably pretty happy that none of those guys erupted for another big game, because he still hasn't played, and I think that's big for him that neither Artavis Scott or Jeremy Davis really had a great game.
I don't think it bodes well for Cantrell regardless, because if you haven't played, I don't think you should stay. But Jeremy Davis dropped a wide-open pass. Artavis Scott dropped a wide-open pass. J.J. Jones had a deep ball land in his hands. Granted, I will give him a slight pass because it was slightly tipped, but it still landed in his hands. And that could have easily been a deep touchdown, if not at least a huge gain to inside the 5-yard line. The only real catch was Jeremy Davis making a pretty good catch with a guy on his back. Other than that, you're right. This isn't a good game at all for these guys. It's getting pretty, I don't want to say sad, but you had all these high hopes for these two guys, maybe a third guy in J.J. Jones because of his return ability, that they were going to be that fifth or sixth receiver who could come in on, like, I don't know, maybe like a third quarter play and surprise everybody. And now you're looking at it like, okay, well, do we even have any depth behind our four receivers?
And yeah, John, and spoiler alert, I think we might see some of those guys in the next segment, and that is the Biggest Losers coming up next. All right, now it's time to get into one of my favorite segments that we've started here in the preseason, and that's going into the biggest winners and losers from the last game. We're going to start with the big losers, I would say, first, John. Who's at the top of your mind when you think of the biggest losers from the last game against the Saints?
Well, if we're talking position battle, I would say Jatavius Brown, because I think he lost his chance at being a starting position linebacker. But if we're talking maybe roster spots, I would say it has to be all of the tight ends below Virgil Green and Sean Culkin, because after those performances, it's probably a good chance we're going to see Antonio Gates with those two guys.
And I thought that Sean Culkin did just enough, John. I wouldn't put him in the big winners part of this show. I thought he did enough to probably be the third or second tight end with whether or not Antonio Gates comes back. And I think you're right. The tight ends are a big loser for this preseason and training camp. We just haven't seen anything. And even out of camp, John, I mean, we're not even getting so much as a buzz out of camp that any of these guys are standing out. So I think when, as a position group, you can't find one guy that really stands out, I think the Chargers are big losers in that department, because they weren't able to bring in a guy or give their guys they brought in enough of an opportunity to show that they can make the roster. I mean, tight ends got one target, John. They had one target in this last game. In the game before that, they had one target for the backup tight ends, and they caught zero of them. So it's just really upsetting. That's the biggest loser, I would say, so far of the preseason.
And if you look at the names, I'm pretty sure fans at home are going to say who to most of these guys. You have Jaron Ham, Cole Hunt, Ben Johnson, Raiden Bowman, Sean Culkin, Virgil Green. Those are your tight ends on this roster right now. And if you had to pick a third tight end, you're probably going to pick Bowman, but you don't have any confidence in him. You basically, if you're going to do this like a Madden rating, you have a Virgil Green that you'd probably consider like maybe a 79 overall because of his run blocking ability. Sean Culkin, you'd give maybe like a 65. And then Braden Bowman, you'd probably give like a 59. You know, like those aren't good numbers.
No, they're not good numbers. And I think that is part of it, John, is just there is a lack of talent at that position. It's not as if, I mean, these guys are just not doing the job. It's just the fact that the Chargers didn't bring in good enough guys to get the job done. And that's why they are big losers, along with Jatavis Brown, who have missed all of the tackles. He belongs in the big losers as well. And the next big loser I want to talk to you about, John, is two guys that didn't play in the last game. And I think those two big losers are Dylan Cantrell and Justin Jackson. And you might be saying, how can they lose from this last game? Well, I think Detrez Newsome showed that he deserves a spot on this roster, John. And I think that even with a subpar game from Jeremy Davis and Artavis Scott, it's going to be hard not to at least look at a guy like Scott, who's had some flashes and can bring you something in the return game. And whereas Dylan Cantrell hasn't even made it onto the field. What do you think about those two guys, John? Do you agree that they are big losers since they haven't been able to get on the field?
I 100% agree with you. If you think that because these guys didn't play that they didn't lose, you're wrong, because they didn't have a chance to even show that why they deserve to be on a roster. Just because you're a draft pick doesn't mean your position is locked. I've seen a lot of 7th-round and 6th-round picks lose their position to an undrafted free agent, and then that undrafted free agent becomes somebody like a Malcolm Floyd, who knocked out some guys. And Justin Jackson is missing time with a hamstring injury. So basically what you just proved to us is you can't stay healthy. You miss 3 games that don't matter. And you won't even try and make it work so that you can earn a spot in the roster. So in my mind, you're already gone. And then Dylan Cantrell is not showing whether or not he's good in the passing game, but Artavis Scott has shown that he can be a decent receiver, a decent return guy, and you know what you have in him. So I'd rather take the risk on him rather than we'll keep Cantrell in case he becomes good.
Well, and then in the case of Jeremy Davis, even though he had 2 bad games in a row, I would say he's made some big plays, including the 3rd down conversion you talked about earlier, and also the fact that they can't put him on the practice squad. Jeremy Davis is not eligible for the Chargers practice squad at this point. So if they keep Cantrell over him, they don't have a shot to get him back necessarily. They can't really keep him around. So I think those are really the big losers, John. Like you said, if you're a 6th or a 7th round pick, the preseason is your time to solidify your spot on the roster. I think the Chargers have huge decisions to make this week. And I mean, unless they really see some special talent, John, I would say one of those guys at this point, at least one of those guys probably will get cut, which really sucks. Because the Chargers drafted them, and it sucks to have to waste those assets on nothing because they couldn't get on the field. But I'm tired of being depressed about these guys that aren't even playing. So let's get into the big winners from this game. But you'll have to wait because that's coming up next. All right, John, it's time to get to the fun part of the podcast, and that's not the big losers. You never want to talk about big losers, even though there obviously were some. It's time to talk about the big winners. Last time, I let you go first, and this time, I'm going to go first. And my first big winner is obviously Austin Ekeler. But I think, John, honestly, the biggest winner is all of the running backs that played in this game. I think honestly the big winner is all of the running backs we see making the roster at this point, John, and that's Detrez Newsome, Austin Ekeler, and Melvin Gordon. Because yes, Austin Ekeler is the big winner, had 6 carries for 50 yards, had 63 total yards, was making guys miss left and right. But I think all these running backs are winners, John, because they saw they have an offensive line that can actually open up some holes for them. So I think the running back group should all be salivating right now because they see these hogs up front actually like to get involved in the running game and really manhandle people especially on the left side of the line.
So basically what you're saying, Wade, is anybody that played with the first string offensive line is the big winners, and I would agree with that. Because anybody who played with the second string offensive line, I would call you a loser because you didn't have a chance to prove your talent like Russell Hansborough. But Newsome and Eckler both showed what this offensive line can do for running backs. Even Newsome, when he came in to fill in for Eckler, was getting holes in that offensive line. That offensive line was amazing. And when you talk about salivating over it, I think that's just an understatement, man. I think you're talking about like those cartoon moments when they see gold or something and the dollar signs pop out of their eyes. I think that's what explains Melvin Gordon, Eckler, and Newsome. Because after this year, if those guys put up numbers, somebody's getting paid.
Yeah, and the Chargers averaged less than 100 yards rushing last season per game, which isn't great. And I think that the running game can actually be not just a once-in-a-while type of thing like it was last year, John. The Chargers used the run game a lot last year, but were not very effective. I think you see what your bread and butter is with this offensive line, and that helps out everybody. I mean, the offensive line, John, I mean, we've seen how big of an impact that makes in your season and just what the chemistry between your offensive line can make or break your team. So I thought that was really important. I'm excited for Phillip Rivers. I'm excited for all of the running backs and just in general how well they played and to see how well that chemistry is coming along. And, John, the next big winner for me is Derwin James. I think that Derwin James is the big winner for this game because when you see a play like you saw in that game using his athleticism, his length, his size, his instincts to go up and pick that ball off Drew Brees on third down and making a big play and also completing the catch, I think it's so hard as a defensive coordinator to see that and not to just instantly say, hey, that guy's starting all 16 games this season. Derwin James has made baby steps during this preseason, and I think you're all seeing it all come together. I think he's the big winner because I think it was another game where he showed Gus Bradley his versatility and made it harder for him to take James off the field.
I would have to agree with James being a winner because I think now it shows that we could have Jahlil Adai, Rashawn Jenkins, and Derwin James all on the field and have confidence in it as the starters. But, at the same time, calling him a winner, I think also it's something that we all expected. We all expected Derwin James to be the starter at the beginning of the year, but that play definitely puts his starting position in concrete.
Winner is such a subjective thing in this conversation because, I mean, Geno Smith threw basically two pick sixes. One didn't count, but somehow he comes out of this game a winner simply because Cardale Jones still didn't show that he was an NFL quarterback. So I think that the winner and loser type thing is really more of a bigger perspective of just some guys are winning because other guys are losing. And someone like Derwin James who, I mean, John, he didn't look like a starter in any other game except for this game, in my opinion. I thought he looked okay in the rest of the games. I definitely thought this was his best game so far. And I think the farther he goes, the better he gets. But is there any other big winners you want to talk about here, John?
Well, I have a guy that is you're going to probably disagree with as the big winner, but two guys I would say are winners would be Corey Legit and Justin Jones. And we talked earlier that guys that don't play probably don't make the roster, but Justin Jones is probably going to make the roster without playing because of how bad most of these defensive linemen have been. And Corey Legit has probably shown that maybe he's worth a little bit than we all talk about him being worth with how bad the D-line play has been this preseason. So I want to say Legit and Justin Jones are your winners from this game.
Well, John, yeah, actually, I am surprised you said that because, first of all, you're supposed to be Justin Jones' biggest critic. And second of all, we all know what we do is bash Corey Legia at every turn possible. No, I'm just kidding. But I think you're right, John. I mean, I think just sometimes what you don't have seems better than what you do have just by the fact that it's like trading draft picks. You never get the value of a real player for a draft pick because the draft pick has that mysterious value of it could be anything. It could be Russell Wilson in the third round. It could be Tom Brady in the seventh round. It gives you that mysterious, it could be anything type of situation. I think that's where the Chargers are with this because, I mean, especially in Justin Jones's perspective, hey, I mean, could this guy be worse than what we have going right now? I don't know if that's true. And I think with Corey Legit, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because you always want to hold Corey Legit up to the $60+ million deal that he got a couple seasons ago, John. And I think you're never going to get that type of player from Corey Legit. But at the same time, just because he's not ever going to live up to that contract doesn't mean that he can't contribute on the field. But that's not going to help them in the first 4 weeks of the season, John, because Corey Legion knew he was bad, so he took a bunch of steroids. No.
Oh, God.
But if anyone needed a performance-enhancing boost, it was Corey Legion trying to live up to that contract. But let's end it on that, John. Let's end it on, you know, steroid talk and Corey Legion talk because that's what we're known for around here. Well, thanks again for listening, guys. Make sure to keep checking in with us throughout the week. We're going to break down the Broncos in the second edition of our Knowing Your Opponents and breaking down the AFC West. We'll talk about Thursday's game and who has the most to prove going into that. And thanks for sticking with us through the audio issues we've had in the past. We think we've found a pretty good solution and the shows have been sounding better and should continue to sound better going forward. But thanks for listening while we iron that out. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from so you will get the notifications when we come out with a new show. But besides that, thanks for listening again, guys. Make sure to check in with us later this week and go Bolts.